bit of equipment to add to our service, and so that we can continue to do this and get this message out even online. And so we're looking to raise around $3,000 for some cameras and some equipment, and we're already got a good bit in. And so as the Lord leads, that's another opportunity that we're looking for right now to really make sure this message gets out, right? Because we love doing this here, but man, when we get it out, there's a lot broader reach, amen? I know Enrique's already been doing this and having great success with that, right? I mean, you're like, you're almost viral at this point. So, as the band comes up today, we're going to worship, and I just want to talk about, you know, we were talking about the wind potentially hitting this morning, right? And the effects, like everyone, we see this nor'easter coming from like a week out. We're like, oh, this is going to be a big one. It's going to be a doozy. And today's been pretty nice, actually. But we're going to be singing today about a fresh wind. And I just love this concept of the Spirit, of how we can feel the wind, you know, rustling the trees and just feel it on us. And so does the Spirit move. And the Spirit is here today. I just want to remind you, Matthew says, and this is my brother, Matthew Quesada. Not the Bible Matthew, but almost the same thing sometimes. He says, if you woke up today, if you're breathing, if you are here, the Spirit is good. And the Spirit is here. He has given life to you, given freedom. Amen. Jesus said, where the Spirit is, so there is freedom. Amen. I pray that you feel that today. We're going to be singing something like, we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your Spirit out. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's worship.
Amen. Thanks, Reed. Again, those lyrics are available on those QR codes on the table there. If you're streaming with us online, those are available on our website. You can print off a PDF to follow along with the lyrics on that. But let's turn our attention to the Lord this morning, right? Welcome him in this place as he is welcoming us with this beautiful creation around us.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Faithful through every storm, you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things.
Do you believe it?
God, you do great things.
Hallelujah, God. It says, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. You are doing great things, and you will do great things.
I saw my ashes. You saw your dream. I saw an orphan. You were my family. I saw my frailty. I saw your might. I saw my blindness. You were the light. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy, on any mercy, new every morning. Garments of praise, fullness of joy.
People said, thank you, band. Thank you, John and the band. It's nice that you're all wearing those garments of praise. It's good to put those on every morning, not just this morning. Amen. I'm going to read from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. So if you could turn to that, 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter writes to us, so put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And like newborn infants, who long for the pure spiritual word, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many here have tasted that the Lord is good? Amen. And as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And all God's people said. So, all of our lives, God is working on us. All of our lives, God is chiseling away those parts of our lives that are hindering us from fitting into his, essentially, into his temple, into his holy temple. Our Christian life is a work in progress. I know mine is. And I'm sure you're feeling the same way as well. Jesus Christ is changing us from a useless stone to a useful stone, a dead stone to a living stone. You know, before Michelangelo created the masterpiece that we know simply as David, Agostino de Antonio was working on that same piece of marble. It was like 50 years prior to Michelangelo working on it. But Agostino, he didn't do such a good job. He diligently worked, but unsuccessfully, on that large piece of marble. And he got frustrated and said, "Forget it. I can do nothing with it. Forget about it," right? And of course, he was Italian. He could say that real well, Agostino de Antonio. Others tried as well, and they could not do anything with that piece of marble either. So they took it to the garbage, and they set it on the garbage heap, and there it sat, literally, for 40 years, until one day Michelangelo is out for his power walk. Most of you take power walks around the garbage heaps, don't you? And he saw that piece of rock, and he saw something in that piece of rock that was beautiful, and something that he could create. And so Michelangelo believed in that great possibility, and we know what happened. He chipped away at that rock, and he created a masterpiece. And that's what David is. It is a masterpiece. The job of the sculptor, the job of Michelangelo, was to free the forms that were already seen inside that piece of rock, that he knew was actually there. He believed every stone, he says, has a sculpture within it, waiting to be cleaned, waiting to be chipped away at, waiting to be created. A work of sculpting was simply a matter for him of chipping away all that was really not part of the statue that he saw. When Jesus looks at us, it's the same thing. He doesn't see us as a rough piece of rock. He sees inside of us. He sees the potential to be a beautifully carved stone in where? In his temple. In his temple. As the master sculptor, he's able to chip away all that's not a part of what he sees us to be. What he knows us to be is what he reveals in us and through us, right? He's able to chip away all that's not a part. The work of transformation is accomplished only by the one correctly referred to here in Peter as the living stone. And I like how theologian F.B. Myers puts it. He says, "When the stone touches we stones, we become jewels." Amen? Stones useful in building God's house, a useful part of God's house. Many Old Testament passages talk about God as a mighty rock, right? Or as a fortress. And Peter, whose nickname means what? Petra, stone, calls his readers to that concept here in 1 Peter. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, to God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. You know, for the rest of the day, or as you go about your day, take time, 10 minutes, half hour, as much time as you can. Think about that concept of you, a living stone in God's temple. House of God is often used in the Bible for the tabernacle, later for the temple. But notice how the living stone here refers to Jesus, the Messiah. And he is also then the cornerstone. And we, being living stones, are built into his spiritual temple. You know, that theme of Christians being collectively the temple of God, built upon Jesus, the chief cornerstone, is found elsewhere in the New Testament as well. It's the same word, the same verb that Jesus uses when he speaks to Peter and he says, upon you I will build. I will build my church. It's that same concept. Peter describes the living stone as rejected by men. If we follow people's opinions, we're likely to reject a lot of blessings that God has for us. He is chosen by God, Peter says, literally handpicked by God. He says he is precious to God. He's of great value to God. But then he switches the analogy and it moves from Jesus Christ as the cornerstone to the holy temple, a holy priesthood. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer sacrifices acceptable to God. And acceptable to God through whom? Through Jesus. Through Jesus, the cornerstone. You know, it was God's initial desire that his chosen people, the Jews, be the priests, right? But they didn't want to. They didn't want to. Their fear of God was not met with faith, so they asked God not to speak to them directly. We don't want you talking to us directly. We're too afraid. It's not faith, it was fear. So please, speak through Moses, and then later, speak through kings. Don't speak to us directly. And apparently, as a result, an order of priesthood was set up, starting with whom? Moses' brother, Aaron, right? And they continued on through Aaron's line, through his sons and their descendants. The priests acted as mediators between the people and the holy God, assisting with the sacrifices and presenting them before the Lord. Yeah, it was a high and holy calling. But in the New Testament, God changes things. He chooses a new people, a people of faith, and he calls us to be priests, a priesthood that is acceptable to God. And our sacrifices are acceptable only when they are offered through the cornerstone, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, as Hebrews puts it. We worship God through the Spirit, as Jesus said that we would in John chapter 4. In the Old Testament, priests offered cattle and sheep and goats and birds and grain and incense, wine. But in the New Testament, there's a change. Our offerings are spiritual. Our offerings are from the heart. We deliberately and consciously offer ourselves, our lives up to God as a sacrifice of worship. And historically, these verses describing all Christians as priests made a great impact. It made a great impact to Martin Luther, who sought reform in the Roman Catholic Church. No, we don't have a priesthood that's set aside, speaking a language we can't even understand, reading the Bible for us. No. We, it says here, are the priesthood. We are the ones who God wants to indwell. We are the temple of God. He uses a number of words to describe our specialness to God. But, beloved, let's be careful not to miss our purpose, that we may declare, it says in verse 9, the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And Heavenly Father, the God of all creation, we pray that you will continue to be the solid foundation upon which we build our lives. We gather before you this first Sunday of the week to align our lives to the strong teaching and the life of Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. We ask that you bless the words that you'll be saying to us this morning through Pastor Andrew, and help us to receive the truth that he speaks as eagerly as we receive the praise, as you receive the praise and thanksgiving and expressions of faith and love that we usher up to you this morning, that we sacrifice to you this morning. And so we come to you, our God, as people who desire to learn to serve like Christ, ready to receive your blessings, ready to receive your direction today. And it's in the name of the risen Christ, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Last week we were talking about, in the journey of Lent, just that really walking with God, that surrender, and just allowing the Spirit of God to literally do the work for you and with you. And I just, these next two songs are just such great surrender songs, just inviting the Holy Spirit to move in our lives this morning. And this first song here isn't, both of these are newer songs we've been teaching guys. It says, my hands are open, my heart is free. You know, opening your hands like this in front of you is just a way of being ready to receive, you know. And I want you to, you know, visually see that right now in front of you, the hands open like this, but then asking of you, would you consider opening your heart that way, just like my hands would be open like this to God this morning, opening your heart to literally let him plant what he wants to plant, just as the word has already been coming to us this morning, and more is going to continue to come. Would you allow that in a heart attitude, not only just a physical attitude? And you could hold your hands out in front of you, too. It's a great way of just in prayer being ready to receive from God this morning. But we just want to enter into a time of just really allowing the Spirit to prepare our hearts again for the main message this morning, and just already what he's been bringing us so good this morning. Thanks, Ron, for that.
So you can move, come and do what only you can do. I want to live in expectation of your kingdom breaking through, of your kingdom breaking through. My hands are open, my heart is free. Open the heavens, rain down on me, fall down on me. My hands are open, my heart is free. Open the heavens, rain down on me, fall down on me. I want to come to you in boldness. By your power I receive. I want to live in expectation. With you I'll do greater things. 'Cause I believe in greater things. My hands are open, my heart is free. Open. Change. and my heart is free. Hope in the heavens, rain down on me, fall down on me. My hands are open, my heart is free. Hope in the heavens, rain down on me, fall down on me. My hands are open, my heart is free. Hope in the heavens, rain down.
Into this new song, Father, we just thank you for the wind that we physically feel right now. Mm-hmm. And as we sing these words that are just so deep and meaningful, may we really sing them with heart, from our hearts, Father. We do want your spirit here. Blow in like a fresh wind this morning, we pray in your name.
Thank you, worship team. Good morning, everybody. Master Lego engineer Maddox, please come to the stage here. How's everybody doing? Pour your spirit out. We have to suffer for Jesus this morning, don't we? What a place to do church. I know we say it every week, but I mean it. It is great to be back with you. I'm Pastor Andrew. I want to thank you guys for so much this week. I'm limping from a skateboard injury. Mr. Wayne gently reminded me I'm no longer 18. And I said, you're right, it would have been much worse. But no, I'm definitely not 18 anymore. A 52-year-old man should not be doing a split on a skateboard. It was bad. But I survived it. And also, I would love to say thank you. So many of you took the time to offer so much grace in your prayers, condolences on my mother's passing. You even stopped by the office this week. I know who you are. It meant the world to me, and I really am thankful for that. And I talked to Jesus this morning. She did attend the service, which hasn't stopped for less than 3 weeks now, and she's with a lot of your friends and relatives too. Church was really good. It was a little wild this morning. Loud clashing cymbals and all that. It's great to be home. It's great to see my church family here. And for those of you attending online, welcome this morning to Bird Park Church online. This is a beautiful day to focus on spring. It's coming. It's not spring yet, is it? It's coming. But it will be different. We're going to get used to different this morning. I love that. George Bernard Shaw said, some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not? God selects what man or woman rejects. Many of us here judge our transformation sometimes, okay, be honest, based on somebody else's testimony or their life, their time-lapse video. We have a lot of testimonies up here. I love story. And I have folks come up and share their story. And sometimes that can feel and be taken a certain way by folks. Like, I wish that was my story. Or I wish I was in the Brady Bunch and everything ended well at the end of this episode, right? But my story's not happening like that, or mine hasn't finished like that. And I don't want you to comply with a vote from a committee of cynics. There's a lot of them, even in a beautiful town such as Avalon. And we listen to them, don't we? We hear them. Jesus is the stone that we build on. Ron, thank you for opening us up with not just a beautiful passage, but the thinking that we're going for this morning. We are the stone also that he builds on. Yes, you, right? Peter said, first, we got to get rid of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. That's a tall order. In order to set the foundation right. I thought of just putting a Jenga up here. You ever played the game? Y'all play that, right? My daughter cheats every time. But anyway, when you're pulling out these things and restacking, if you don't stack it just right, it's just, you know, it's more than the Leaning Tower. It's history. Just a couple rows up. And I thought, well, we may get some wind this morning. Don't want to mess with that. That would just defeat the whole purpose. Building on something, and then it crashes in front of everyone. So I've called on our master technician, Maddox, here. Make sure our foundation is set right. You're built on this too. We have to get rid to get ready. We have to get rid of things to get ready, to find balance, to find balance. Let's pray again this morning. God, help us continue to be living in the same grace that brought us salvation to begin with. The one thing I know and the one thing I trust in is you, God, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful. Amen, folks? Faithful to complete it. Even when I'm faithless, you are faithful. Let's come into agreement with everyone here today that is feeling faithless. Although we don't want to admit skepticism or cynicism or any of these things in 2 Peter, all these things we use as a protective mechanism to keep us from being disappointed again that might have crept into a point where we don't feel much like ourselves today. Don't let the enemy steal this moment, my friends. Let the anointing of worship break through. Pour your spirit out. I heard what the team was saying. Send a fresh wind this morning to remind ourselves that we don't have to depend on our own moods. We don't have to look at our own behaviors to justify ourselves in Christ. The righteous are fully justified. The final word has already been spoken over our lives. And my friends, it's time to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. How'd that feel? So far, so good with me. Worship team, once again, the selection of songs. Who cares about a guitar that doesn't work? We got one that does, right? Satan's not always behind everything. I just thought, Satan, put that rock in front of my skateboard. There's a lot of rocks. And we got a second guitar. Praise God, we move forward. Things are different with repentance. Balance in our life begins. And today, briefly, I get to deliver a message to you that Jesus loves you. Online people, I hope you're listening. He loves you and he wants you. If he is with you, no one can be against you. It's here. I'm reading it. Our God is stretching his arms to reach you right now this morning. And I'm asking, are you thankful for the hand of God on your life? Are you? All around the golf carts, everywhere. Are you thankful for the hand of God on your life? Be thankful for the hand of God on your life. He is the hand of an artist and of a potter, the hand that knows exactly where to press and where to shape and where to add something or to remove something. Exactly confirm the plan that he has for your life. God has something for us in our lives today. Thank you, Lord, right? Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter, these are powerful scriptures. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Translation, delete all of your social media accounts. Some of you say amen. Others are like, ouch. Instead, some of us have to make decisions as to who is going to have access to us. The first step in getting ready with balance in our life is getting rid of something. None of these things that Peter talks about are direct behaviors. They're attitudes, I see. Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk. By it you may grow up in salvation. Now that you've tested the Lord is good, look at him as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. For scripture says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Have you trusted in him this morning? Trust. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble. He just does. And a rock that makes them fall. I hit one on a skateboard this week. They stumble because they disobey the message. I was also warned to wear a helmet this week as well. I'm not going to disobey that one ever again. But you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, God's special possession. Declare the praises of him. A fresh wind is blowing. Are you taken out this morning already? Or did you come with expectation this morning? Today I'm talking about asking God to help us make room. Some of you are visiting this morning. Either you're coming back to Catalina or you're visiting for the first time or you're watching online for the first time. I ask you this morning, have you made room for God? Is there margin? What a great place to find margin. What a beautiful place to do church, but have it actually applied to your life, the scripture, to literally find margin in your life and to say, I don't want to be full of malice. I want the heart of God. How can we receive the revelation of the real us if we're living a life of hypocrisy, posing? We're so determined to look better than we really are. My wife has said, you're a three-wing four. Enneagrams. And I'm going, I want to be a one through nine. She's like, no, no, you don't. Don't pose. This is what you can be and who you are. Hypocrisy is not that you're struggling with something. It's pretending that you don't. Plenty to do in verse 1 of 1 Peter 2. Plenty to do here. Getting rid of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. My friends, let's get verse 1 down before you consult with Pastor on a book of Daniel or Revelation. This thing is loaded. Get rid in order to get ready to make space for God to fill our hearts. It's going to look different. Can you get used to different? Can you? Can you get used to different? The living stone is Jesus. The topic of this sermon is balancing those stones. What you're getting from Peter is literally a small synopsis, just a little window of the whole salvation experience, similar to the time-lapse video of watching someone build like a Star Wars Lego structure in a 10-minute YouTube. Now, I consulted with the Jedi of this island. The Lego King is Ryan Montgomery. Make no mistake, my friends. Okay? He's over town. Mom, I spoke to him yesterday. I spoke to him yesterday on the phone. He did talk to me. And what he said was this. You give me a box like this one my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, gave to her. And it's never even been opened because we haven't had time to do this. And that is a killer VW bug with a surfboard on the top. You give him a box with the instructions of something to do for the Lego setup. Ryan told me maybe an hour. Maybe an hour. Bring it. I mean, you should hear him. Bring it. I said, well, what about that giant 18-wheeler thing that you had on the Wrigley stage for the whole world? Well, you know, and all these, I had to carry some of them when he moved. These things are huge. He goes, huh, no instructions for those, Hobbs. I said, well, all right, fine. How long? He goes, days. Who knows? Days. Right? Why? Because it's up here, and it's his creation. And every time he puts something here, he may change it over here. Or he adds something here, takes away from here, until he gets exactly what he's looking for. I think you're tracking with me this morning. When things don't look like they do in the box, we almost want to take it back to God and say, it has to be built. And this is the whole point of the exercise. When someone comes up here to share their testimony with you, even as our band has done this morning, a testimony in song or something personal they share between songs and how they were set free, this is typically a time-lapse testimony with you and how they were set free. This is typically something that has taken time where they fast-forwarded through all of life's stumbles and maybe 3 years of utter toil, which is what Peter is doing here, by the way. Peter said, sounds so simple. What he's saying here, it sounds so sudden. In the first two verses, he tells us to get rid of the bad things and the crap in our life. Grow up, son. However, he uses the image of a baby to let us know that God's kingdom and the way God's kingdom is built will be way different than a time-lapse video that you can watch on YouTube. A time-lapse testimony is not untrue. It's just that it happens so quick. And the hard part is when we compare our real life process with somebody else's ESPN highlight reel or their time-lapse testimony. Hear me this morning. You are in a process, and so are the people that I choose to come up here to share their story. It's a process. How many of you have seen The Chosen? Season one, at least. You've seen it. Raise your hand, okay? Look around. It's pretty epic, right? Great for the whole family, by the way. Either you have the app, which has no commercials. I'm putting out a little blurb there. Or you watch it on YouTube, which has a lot of things, and including some of the before and after talk with the producer. One episode where Jesus is choosing Matthew to follow him, and I love this. Matthew's been watching him. Matthew's been taking notes on him. And he's working for Caiaphas and Quintus. And he's doing his job. Jesus walks over and he chooses him to be his disciple. How did Peter take it initially? Peter and a tax collector, right? Jesus says, Matthew, son of Alphaeus. Matthew says, yes. Jesus says, follow me. Matthew says, me? Jesus says, yes, you. Oh, man. Caius, the Roman centurion, tries to stop Matthew, reminds him of everything you own. What a stupid decision. Are you serious? You have land. You have a beautiful house. You have everything. What the heck are you doing? Peter jumps in, walks over to Jesus. I love the scene. And he says, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? Matthew says, you want me to join you? Peter's getting upset at this point. He says to Jesus, do you even know him? Jesus says, yes, I know him. Peter says, I don't get it. Jesus says this, you didn't get it when I chose you either. You didn't get it when I chose you either. Peter, quickly back to Jesus, upset, says, but this is different. This is different. I'm not a tax collector. And Jesus says, get used to different. My friends, this morning, I want to try this. A lot of things going on. Focus on the Word of God this morning, if you would. Stay focused on the Word of God this morning. What does he have for you this morning? We're going to practice something this morning in our listening skills. I'm actually going to play for you this scene, and I just gave you the entire script. There's a scene here where Caius looks at Matthew and he says, what are you doing? Puts his hand on his sword when Jesus says, Matthew. And you'll hear this screeching sound like someone's about to do something evil with his sword. Listen this morning to this scene between Matthew, Caius, Jesus, and Peter, taken from The Chosen.
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy has done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to... What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're going to throw it all away. Yes.
Didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew. What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Matthew was the host of the dinner party. If you haven't seen The Chosen, don't binge watch anything else. Binge Jesus. Watch it. It's good stuff. The foundation for the economy was fishing at the time. Peter was commissioned. And when Jesus called him, by the way, it's Luke chapter 5, Peter was the focus of the miracle in the casting of the nets, right? He was the focus, which recaptured multitudes of fish. He just basically wrote off Jesus like, oh, come on. And he's like, I've been doing this all night, right? All night struggling. Jesus looked at him and commissioned him. The interesting thing that as a young man in this area, literally, he would have been educated in the scriptures. All these young men were educated in the scriptures, but only the best and the brightest have been selected by a rabbi to go on to future learning, to become an actual disciple. Typically, the best students would get the most attention, and the rest would go on to a trade. Maybe it's true even today. Peter went and learned a trade because he did like fishing, and he became a fisherman, so he wasn't the best student in the classroom, and he didn't have a passion for it. So for a wonder miracle working rabbi to come up to you and to say, follow me, it's no wonder that Peter jumped at the chance, right? Are you me? What? Oh, man, you don't know the dirt on me. He's, follow me. Leave it all here. Follow me. I mean, there wasn't a greater honor. And I close with this. He says, I'm a sinful man. Right? Remember he said, I'm a sinful man, Jesus. You remember him saying that? What about you this morning? Follow you. You should see what I did last night. Jesus, Saturday night in Avalon. Yes, me. Oh. Maybe that's your story. I'm not worthy of this calling. In the book of Acts, they are called ignorant and uneducated men. So Jesus wasn't calling the best students. He was calling in many ways the people you least would expect. John, if you'd come up. He wanted them to be disciples. So the thing about Jesus is that he would pick the people you'd least expect. I know you know where we're going. I know you know that. Many of you have been coming to church many, many years. But I'd like for you to pause and forget those years and be present in this moment. Just for a moment. The least likely. The least likely. He saw something in them that they couldn't see in themselves, or the world couldn't see in them, or maybe they've been judged by other church folks. Scripture tells us you can never escape my love. Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, present in the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says, my presence will fill you up. Some of y'all really need to hear this morning, because there's a lot of distraction going on. The enemy is here. We are binding him in the name of Jesus. You're not present here. You're not allowed here. God's word is going forth. And the Holy Spirit, you're allowed to move freely this morning. My presence will fill you up, John 15, 11. I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Romans 15, 13, you'll spend eternity with me. So I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy, full of peace, as you believe in Him. May you overflow with hope through the power of His Holy Spirit. And lastly, Ephesians 2:12. In those days, for those of you Saturday night, for those of you going crazy, for those of you like Peter going, I can't believe you're even talking to me right now. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You lived in this world without God and without hope. My friends, this is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. There's opportunity here this morning. Jesus looks at us and He sees things in you and He calls you and He calls out the best in us. Right, Maddox? Maddox, the master Lego engineer, has been hard at work with this wonderful creation. No instructions. It's a new masterpiece. And when he's finished, which you need to be finishing, by the way, Maddox, it will be spot on. I love that. Jesus has the master hand of an artist and a potter, and the hand that knows exactly where to press and how to shape to exactly confirm the plan that he has for your life. Family may be screwed up right now, but be patient. This is a process. When the masks come down in an airplane, they say to do what first? Put it on you first. Then put it on someone else. Let what needs to happen in your whole family happen to you first. Let it happen to you. Let it keep happening. And then begin to serve some of the dysfunction and the things going on out of a fullness of who you've become, because nothing can take you out at that point. You're fully protected. Just like he did for Matthew, for Peter, and the rest of them that followed him, God has something for you to do in your life today. Thank you, Lord. Enrique, come on up here. Let's trust the process. Let's trust the timing. Let's get used to different. Amen? God bless you guys this morning. All right, Max.
What a word. Amen. You know, the encouragement that was found in what he just shared is for all of us to take to heart. You know, the last scripture says, but you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And what he was sharing today was that we are a people of God, and that God is building up a spiritual house here on this island and wherever you are, wherever you find yourself today, this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that is found through the scriptures and the examples of people that have been impacted because of Jesus. Just because he came into their life and he says, follow me. Yeah, but just follow me. Trust me. I love the fact that we have received mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We don't deserve the blessing of what God has given us. We don't deserve the forgiveness of God. We don't deserve this beautiful island, the beautiful weather. But God is good, and he loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his most precious son for you and I. Because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. And he's building us up into a spiritual house. Every single one of you is a stone within that house. Every single one of you is different. But how beautiful it is when God fits you together with other people. Look around you. Go ahead, take a look around you. Every single one of us is extremely different. Every single one of us comes from a different place, a different journey. With or without God. Wherever we were at different points of our life. But here we are. Here we are. Earlier we sang and asked God to fill us with his Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, to change us. I believe that the scriptures that were shared this morning are all part of that, of recognition of what God has done in you and through you. And so I just want to encourage you, go out. Let go, like the song said, and then just let God. Let God have his way. Let God discover, help you discover that beautiful, beautiful thing that lies within this rock that maybe others didn't see, but he sees it. And then he finds leaders and people, and he gives them a vision. God is creator of that rock, but he gives his artists a vision to see what's there. And part of our work as people is to help each other, to help discover that. And so I just want to pray a blessing on this word and a blessing on our time together, that God would continue to have his way, because he's not done with us. He who began a good work will complete it. He will complete it. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the time that we spent just in adoration of you and thankfulness and gratitude, Lord God. And Lord, and yet our plea that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us. And Lord God, that we would recognize how you were building us up. You were making us your spiritual house, a place that you dwell, a place that you are most welcome. And I ask, God, that you continue to speak to each one of us. Wake us up if you have to in the middle of the night and speak to us. Draw us to your scriptures. Draw us by your Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for this day. This day is yours. We give it back to you. And in whatever way you choose to lead, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Growing up in church, I was told what I could and couldn't do growing up. My grandma would always tell me, there's nothing in the world for you, mijo. There's nothing out there for you. But I walked away. For 10 years, I walked away. And my mom, my grandmother, I prayed every day. And I got lost in drugs and drinking and partying, and I found out there really wasn't anything out there for me until I met Jesus again. For real. So I want to encourage you right now that if you find yourself in a lost season, or maybe you have somebody that has wandered, never stop praying. They will meet Jesus. I searched through the earth, something that could satisfy, a peace for the hurt I had buried deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I need. You lifted my soul and opened up my eyes. On the floor, I finally found that everything I needed.
I found you, till I found you. You're rewriting my story, and I'm brand new like a morning. Oh, I never knew anything lasts forever, till I found you, till I found you.
God bless you guys. We hope you have a blessed rest of your day and week. Hey, if you have a chance, say happy birthday to Beth today. It's her birthday, so happy birthday, Beth. I won't sing right now for you, but have a great day. God bless you guys.